Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 10, Text Number 1 and 2, Translation and Purport by Srivendra, S.P. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srivela Prabhupada ki. The discussion between Jadabharat and Maharaj Prabhuga. In this chapter, Bharat Maharaj, now Jadabharat, was successfully accepted by King Rahuga, ruler of the states known as Sindhu and Sauvira. The king forced Jadabharat to carry his palanquin and chastised him because he did not carry it properly. A carrier of King Rahugana's palanquin was needed, and to fulfill this need, the chief carrier found Jadabharat as the most likely person to do the work. He was therefore forced to carry the palanquin. Jadabharat, however, did not protest this proud order, but humbly accepted the job and carried the palanquin. While carrying it, however, he was very careful to see that he did not step on an ant. And wherever he saw one, he would stop until the ant had passed. Because of this, he could not keep pace with other carriers. The king within the palanquin became very disturbed and chastised Jadabharat with filthy language. But Jadabharat, being completely freed from bodily conception, did not protest. He proceeded carrying the palanquin. When he continued as before, the king threatened him with punishment. Being threatened by the king, Jadabharat began to talk. He protested against the filthy language used by the king. When the king chastised him, the king, hearing the instructions of Jadabharat, was awakened to his real knowledge. When he came to his consciousness, he understood that he had offended a great, learned, saintly person. At that time, he very humbly, respectfully prayed to Jadabharat. He now wanted to understand the deep meaning of the philosophical words used by Jadabharat, and with great sincerity begged his pardon. He admitted that if one offends the lotus with a pure devotee, he is certainly punished by the trident of Lord Shiva. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear king, after this, King Rahugan, ruler of the states known as Sindhu and Sauvira, was going to Kapilasram. When the king's chief palanquin carrier reached the banks of the river Ikshumati, they needed another carrier. Therefore, they began searching for someone, and by chance, they come upon Jadabharat. They considered the fact that Jadabharat was very young and strong, had firm limbs, like cows and asses, was quite fit to carry loads. Thinking in this way, although the great soul Jadabharat was unfit for such work, they nonetheless unhesitatingly forced him to carry the palanquin. The palanquin, however, was very erratically carried by Jadabharat due to his sense of non-violence. As he stepped forward, he checked before him every 3 feet to see whether he was about to step on ants. Consequently, he could not keep pace with other carriers. Due to this, the palanquin was shaking. And King Rahugan immediately asked the carrier, "Why are you carrying this palanquin unevenly? Better carry it properly." The palanquin, however, was very erratically carried by Jadabharat due to sense of non-violence. As he stepped forward, he checked before him every 3 feet to see whether he was about to step on ants. Consequently, he could not keep pace with other carriers. Due to this, The palanquin was shaking. And King Rajan immediately asked the carriers, why are you carrying this palanquin unevenly? Better carry it properly. But what? Although Jadabharata was forced to carry the palanquin, he did not give up his sympathetic feelings towards the poor ants passing on the road. A devotee does not forget his devotional service and other favorable activities. Even when he is in a most distressful condition, Jadabharata was a qualified Brahmin, highly elevated in spiritual knowledge, yet he was forced to carry the palanquin. He did not mind this, but while walking on the road, he could not forget his duty to avoid killing, even an ant. A Vaishnava is never envious or unnecessarily violent. There are many ants on the path, but Jadabharata took care by looking at 3 feet. When the ants were no longer in his way, he would place his foot on the ground. A Vaishnava is always very kind at heart to all living entities. In his Sankhya Yoga, Lord Kapilda explains, Surudha Sarva Dehinam, living entities assume different bodily forms. Those who are not Vaishnavas consider only human society worthy of the sympathy, but Krishna claims to be the supreme father of all life forms. Consequently, the Vaishnava takes care not to annihilate untimely, unnecessarily, any life form. All living entities have to fulfill certain duration for being engaged in a particular type of material body. They have to finish the duration allotted a particular body before being promoted or evolved to another body. Killing an animal or any other living being simply places an impediment in the way of his completing his term of imprisonment in a certain body. One should therefore not kill bodies for one's sense gratification, but this will implicate one in sinful activity. Om Ajnana Tumira. Om Ajnana Tumira Andasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshuru Vindalitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantaka. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavata. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Prabhupada, in this purpose, he says, a Brahmin or a Vaishnava is not practices non-violence or is kind to other living entities. While saying this, he has mentioned unnecessarily or for sense gratification. No killing for sense gratification. No unnecessary killing. That means it also implies when it is conditional, unnecessary killing. That means if it is necessary, what is the whole message of Bhagavad Gita? Kill. Kill your opponents kill your enemies. So on one hand, Krishna is saying, kill. On the other hand, a Vaishnava or a Brahmin, in this case Arjuna was a Vaishnava Kshatriya. And Brahmin and Kshatriyas, they are, whatever violence they do it for the benefit. Arjuna's killing was for the benefit of those who are being killed. If Arjuna did not kill because of a sinful life, they will be rotting in the hell. If Arjuna killed them, he delivered them. By killing, he accomplished two things. One is, they could not continue with their sinful activities anymore. So somebody is a vowed criminal and you hang him to death. If you had not given him that death sentence, maybe you would have killed many, many people. Because nature is criminal nature. And secondly, by killing a criminal, not only that you have stopped him from further sinful activities, but by appropriately punishing him, especially by a devotee. And a devotee or Brahmin, just like Narada Muni sometimes curses, sometimes saintly people curse. And that curse becomes a blessing in disguise. Because they are not cursing out of impatience. They are not cursing out of hatred. A devotee, when he sometimes chastises somebody, he can just overlook it. Like a devotee is preaching, he can just not preach and mind his business. Then who will tell the people? Maybe not everybody will listen when you preach. But even one person, understands the point, then you have saved one person from sinful ways of life. So, elsewhere, Prabhupada says, this world is a place of duality. Duality means, it's not like Vaikuntha, where everything is love, where everything is service. Where everything is, కలకాయలు చెడిపోయే దానికి క్లాసులు అనుకున్నా So, అర్జున్ పిలిచారు పూజారులు ఇద్దరు ఏం చేస్తున్నారు పూజారులు ఇద్దరు వెళ్ళి ఎవరు పూజారా క్లాసులు ఏం తిరగట్లేదు అడిగారు ఒగ్గుతా ఏం చేస్తున్నారు ఇప్పుడు ఏం చేయాలి అరగంట చేసుకోలేడు So Prabhupada says that this world is Dvaita Jagat. Dvaita Jagat means always your duality. Only in the spiritual world everything is centered. It's called Vaikuntha atmosphere. Vaikuntha atmosphere means where everyone cooperates, where everyone has service attitude, where everyone appreciates each other. Devotees, if they are really devotees, there should not be any problem. If there is a problem, means it can be from both sides, it can be from one side, whenever there is a problem. Both sides. So like management versus subordinates. The manager may be he may not know or he may not be properly qualified. The manager is in the modes of material nature. He forgets that we are all a team. And then he tries to dominate. If the manager is qualified, then he will give service. I have to do the service, he will do the service. And he will forgive the mistakes, you will be willing to train, nothing like mishandling. We should not let, not only devotees, we should not let as much as possible, not let anyone go away from Krishna consciousness. Because we are here to bring people to Krishna consciousness. Unless completely uncooperative, it's completely, okay, sometimes people are little, they are not normal people. Because of which the whole ashram is getting destroyed and he is not willing to learn. So in that case, just to protect all the residents of the ashram, you may have to take action on someone, one person. Otherwise, basically the dictum is that always make sure that devotees, once they join, they don't go. That should be the management policy. So sometimes a devotee, he doesn't take his position properly, then you may have to correct it like that. So the problem can be from both sides and the problem may be from one side. One fellow is a gentle fellow, but the other person is simply aggressive. Generally, Vaishnavas have to sit and sort out the issues. We should never keep communication gap. Always sit down, sort out the issues. As long as Krishna is in the center, as long as we want to keep Krishna in the center, we should be willing to, there is always scope that we can all work together. So, this is a world of duality. We may have joined for becoming devotees, but we may not have become devotees yet. So, there is some clash of interest. So, things take a wrong turn. So, in the material world, always clash of interest. So, Bhagavad Gita also says, in this world there are always two kinds of people. Devotees, non-devotees. Devotees want to do things in Krishna's way, non-devotees wants to do whimsically. And Krishna wants the devotees to preach. We should not think, why hell, why headache, why should I? No. Like in the ashram, if something is going on, nonsense, we should immediately report to the authority. It's not that why become his enemy if I tell, that means you are also a thief. You are also a nonsense. When something we see not going on well, we should immediately bring it up. Otherwise, how the matter can be corrected. So, violence cannot always be avoided in this world. The very fact that Krishna asked Arjuna to do violence, you kill. That means killing is good. Otherwise, why did Krishna say kill? So sometimes it always bugs people. When we are maintaining the ashram, sometimes you may have to kill rats, you may have to kill cockroaches, you may have to kill spiders, you may have to kill ants. What to do? Because the understanding is, if you keep this clean, there will not be room for more violence. Suppose you are seeing insects crawling. If you don't remove them, then they are going to breed and there will be more insects. And then they come under your feet and they make the place unclean. So it's common sense. You know? People try to talk without practicality. Let's say the two words are used here. Unnecessary violence. Suppose the government, the municipality is going around putting chemical on the sewer waters. If they don't, then it will breed diseases, more mosquitoes and more insect-borne diseases. But devotees, the heart of the devotee is reflected. whenever devotees are doing this kind of activities, they are not comfortable. They are not happy to do it, but it is part of the service. Devotees are basically kind. So, they say, like, one time, in Prabhupada's pastimes, there was some insect repeatedly. He asked, oh, what should we do? Just like bats come repeatedly. So Prabhupada said, you chant Hare Krishna and kill it. Chant Hare Krishna. If something is dying in the hands of a Vaishnava, it will surely benefit. And a Vaishnava is not unnecessarily. You don't kill anything and everything. Only what interferes in keeping the ashram clean. So, it's called, you have to make a balance. What is necessary, what is unnecessary. You should not be too sentimental or fanatical. But for Krishna service, be practical. Do what is needful. So, Jadabharat, we can raise many questions about the way Jadabharat is going about himself. Do you think Jadabharat can completely avoid violence? He is seeing the ants and not stepping on them. But do you think he is completely free from violence? No? Yet the situation is, a king is in the palanquin. And king is a very important personality. Yadyaj acharati sreshta tatya devyatraya. Whatever is the king, whatever is the authority or superior, accordingly, people under him are trained. If the authority sets a good example and others have to follow, if the authority himself is loose, then everybody else, they don't become serious. So Jadabharat, he was, because Jadabharat is not an ordinary person to begin with. Jadabharat is an avadhuta. Jadabharat is the uttam bhagavat, the param bhagavat. So by Krishna's arrangement, the time has come for King Raghavan to become a disciple. Jadabharat, he could excuse himself, but he was not talking so long. When he was caught by dacoits, he did not speak. Throughout his career, he pretended to be deaf and dumb. Why not now? While carrying the palanquin, the king may be using abusive language. Who is this stupid? He's saying all things. In spite of my warning, what do you think about myself? I'm king in the palanquin. How dare he gives this jolt to the palanquin? And what the king would have done if Jadabharat had kept quiet? What can he do? He will punish. Already was prepared to be killed, Jadabharat. What is this punishment for him? So that means he knows when to speak, when not to speak, by the prompting of the super soul. It's not that by just stepping here and there, you completely avoiding killing ants. Like we see in that story, the cruel hunter becoming a disciple of Narada Muni. And next time when Narada Muni came, Parvata Muni and Narada Muni, they came. And he was trying to, while offering his Dandavat Pranam, he was trying to use a cloth. If you swap the ants with a cloth, definitely some will have their legs broken, some will have their heads crushed and all that. It's not possible. Or you should stop, you can actually say, this cruel hunter can say, my dear Narada Muni, there are all ants here, please, I am sorry, I am not able to offer you pranams. You can say, that also will make Narada Muni very happy. Suppose you tell, all ants all over, yes, I am not offering pranams. Mentally, please accept me. That you could have said. Just to show how by chanting Hare Krishna, a person's heart will be transformed. The lesson has to be, you have to bring out the lesson. So here also, this Jadabharat was stopping, was not in step with other three palanquin barriers. Carriers, because he is prompted from the super soul. You are understanding. A king is supposed to be Raja Rishi. Anyone who becomes a leader, he has to be a qualified man. So he was not. King Raghavan was not a rogue, King Raghavan was not a fool, but he did not get the association. All people are not bad. So some people are eating meat, they don't know, and when you talk to them, okay, from today I'll stop eating meat. Some people may be eating meat because they have no other way. And when you can suggest them other ways, for them, they don't know what else to do. So for so many reasons, so the King Raghavan, he was not a bad man. I'm a king, servants have to serve me nicely. And why the servants are not careful? It's not bad. But purposefully, Jadabharat was little uncooperative. And purposefully Jadabharat kept quiet so long. But here he decided to speak. Why did he not speak to dacoits when they were trying to kill him? He could have spoken to dacoits, sir, you chant Hare Krishna, you don't have to do anything. You chant Hare Krishna and Goddess Kali will give you everything. Because he found them to be unqualified. The people, they cannot take the lessons because they are very ropes and thieves. It is said that if you try to give a good advice to an insincere man, he will become upset. If you give advice to a sincere man, he will be very thankful. Suppose you come and wake up, why you are not coming to Mangalati, why you are not coming to class and things like that. If you are a good person, your Maharaj is trying to help you. or if you don't know how to manage your things, you can discuss. You can talk to me, this is what I am doing. So everything, you know, you should always be, a devotee always has to be gentle. Everything can be sorted out. So, Jadabharat, he completely cooperated with the dacoits and he did not say a word. And here, King Raghuram, with repeated chastisement, it's not that he did not understand. When the king is chastising from within the palanquin, he is understanding. Still, he decided to not follow the king. And he wanted to speak also. He did not open his mouth for so long. Now he wanted to speak. Because it is a grand opportunity. One is that the king is expected to be somewhat gentleman. And the king is a leader of many, many subjects, all the kingdom. So that if I speak to him, and if he is really a cultured man, and if he takes my message seriously, the devotees are not argumentative. Devotees know that by arguments you can never convince a person. Devotees are very, you know, because a Vaishnava is very intelligent. He knows where to argue, where not to argue, where to speak, where not to speak, because he's a polished man. This man, you cannot take the thing, just like somebody. So preaching means it's not headlessly. With everybody, you meet a child and you begin to talk all big things, or you find a villager. A devotee preaches according to the audience. You are in the company, you are giving a program to women, you are giving a program to children, you are giving a program to bureaucrats. You are giving a class to the devotees, the presentation will vary, what to speak before them. In ISKCON they give classes on speaking, communication skills course. They sell target audience. Target audience means whom I am speaking to. So among the devotees, whenever we give classes, the devotees are not fools. You cannot just impress them. You have to give practical things. The devotee, he has many anargas, he has many, he want to know things. So it's not some storytelling or some theoretical thing. The devotees, they want to apply. Whatever devotees listen, just like here, the topic of, he doesn't want to kill ants. Immediately it is a relevant question to us. I am killing so many ants. What to do? I am killing so many spiders. I am killing so many mosquitoes. So should I become just be surrounded by all ants and mosquitoes and not do anything? Is that right? So that means, let's say the two words are used. Unnecessarily and not for sense gratification. You don't kill for sense gratification. Who yesterday, that Dhananjay called up from Chennai. Maharaj, some party is going on here. they are all eating meat. And I'm only taking curd rice. And I'm taking only vegetable rice. And they came and asked me, why you are not eating meat? I said, because it involves killing. And they asked him, so when you are eating vegetables, it also involves killing. When you are using a leafy vegetable, you pull out the plant and use it like bandugobi, or full gobi, whatever. You cut the cauliflower from the plant, or when you take groundnuts, can you take groundnuts or gazer without killing the plant? You take out the plant because you are taking the root. So if the root is taken away, actually in carrot, people can take the upper head and put it, but some trunk has to be there, it will leave again. So, in any case, violence is there, less or more. So, that means the devotees don't eat or what. They eat whatever is necessary, permitted. Or when you are doing abhishekam, you use honey, it is there. How do you get honey? So, you cannot be fanatical. You cannot be sentimental. Please, at least be kind to human beings first. Don't talk all these sentimental things. First, have meaningful relations with devotees. And have friendly relations with the people. And have kindness towards many animals, and little insects and that. Don't talk impractically, as though you are a great Vaishnava, as the others don't know. So the point is, in the course of service, and only as much as necessary, and not for sense gratification, and with a mood of kindness, always, a devotee, whenever, even if you are not killing, but you know that so much killing is going on, unaware, without our knowledge, so much killing is going on. So don't think that I have saved an ant. Sometimes in Mangalarti, you see some ant, you dance and you step on it. You don't feel like it. While seeing it, you don't feel like it. But sometimes it is rainy season, too many insects everywhere. You try to groom it in spite of that. So don't be too much into it. If you are really a good Vaishnava, first have very good relations with other Vaishnavas. Don't keep any ego barriers, things like that. Whenever two Vaishnavas are there, if you think other man is a nonsense, what about you? What about you? You exhibit your great qualities as a Vaishnava. I am a nonsense, what about you? Because you are seeing nonsense in me, and you are great. So you deal with me to make me a good Vaishnava. Not that anybody can criticize others, but what is constructive. So a Vaishnava is a very cooperative, in both cases, whether he is advanced or he is not. If you are not advanced, you learn it. If you are advanced, you help out the situation. In no case, you cannot run away from the situation. Wherever you go, there are going to be problems. So, that only shows our immaturity, that we don't understand that we have to learn and we should develop the patience and we should develop that art of dealing. Many things can be sorted out just by speaking up. So that's why Jadabharata is speaking. Jadabharata is giving jolt to the palanquin. And the king was becoming more irritated. Do you know who I am? What are you doing? And I am giving you 1, 2, 3 warnings. And Jadabharata thought, let me speak. So, and then you see that because the king was a cultured man, when the palanquin bearer, the carrier, started speaking knowledge, the king immediately remembered Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Yeah, spiritual knowledge is there, and this man is talking something spiritual. He is talking about the difference between who is a king, who is a carrier. And how long you will be king? When you have become king? He was not king when he was just a child. He has become king now. Tomorrow there may be a war and he may become a captive. He may go into jail. So these positions of king, this, that, these are all designations. That's not our permanent designation. Our permanent designation is something that cannot be changed. Prabhupada says, service is our permanent activity. Servant we are. So we have to serve. Wherever we go, we have to serve. And servant, whom servant? You become servant of Vaishnavas, you become servant of Krishna, otherwise you will become servant of somebody else. Just like he has become a cook here, and he was a cook somewhere else. Cook in some nonsense place, cook in some private place, now he has found the right place. I am Krishna's cook, I am devotee's cook. That is permanent, because this is eternal life. Becoming a cook for Krishna means it's a permanent job. Suppose you die and take birth. Again, next life, you will not become cook for anybody else. You will again become Krishna's cook. After 2-3 births of remaining as Krishna's cook in this world, then Krishna sees that you are not desiring for liberation and you are satisfied being a cook. Krishna can call you, no, come on, you come home. You directly cook in my presence. Like that. Similarly, we are servants of devotees. That means we are taking a humble stand. And we are trying to please Vaishnavas by our cooking. By pleasing Vaishnavas with our service attitude, we can draw the attention of Krishna. Krishna can call you back. But Prabhupada told with his mouth, people who died before him, he has gone back to, just like, what is that Prabhuji, who made Jagannath Rath first time, Jayananda Prabhu, he died before Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, because simply his only focus is one thing. Whatever Prabhupada told him to do, that's it. He did not question that it is impossible, I cannot do it. We should not say things like that, I will try. He always tell, I will try. Because the Guru is not a fool, he is watching over the disciple. And then he is all right. He has followed the instruction. It's not working. Then you may change it. So that's how spiritual life goes on. So Jadabharata by the prompting of the super soul, Paramatma in the heart, contrary to his previous behavior, he was adamant, he was protesting, and he even wanted to speak, he was speaking against the king. It's a big risk. He wants to challenge the king. He wants to violate the order of the king. Big risk. But it was not a risk because he is not taking it on personal grounds. He is getting prompting from the super soul. Every devotee, whenever he is taking hard decisions, whenever he is taking serious decisions, will Prabhupada be pleased with this? Is it pleasing to, let's say a devotee is willing to face the group of devotees. Suppose I take a decision. Yes, all right, put it in the Ishta Goshti. Not that you call somebody in the room, smash him on his face. No. Whatever a devotee is dealing, he is taking the response, all right. Let the topic be brought before the GBC. Let the topic, because you have that mood. I'm not trying to do it whimsically. So we should be willing to, not that we run away from the situation. A devotee is willing to face, because he has no self-interest. And then let what senior Vaishnavas have to say. Yes, sir. If they say, then so the point is, a devotee has patience. A devotee is cooperative. A devotee is willing to serve. It's not that he doesn't want to serve. His mood is service. His mood is cooperation. And his mood is that he wants to willing to keep communication. So Jadabharti says, by doing this, how he has transformed a king to become a great Vaishnava. This King Raghavan, after listening to Jadabharti, he voluntarily surrenders to him. Now you are my Guru Maharaj. Now kindly you have saved me from the nuisance of material life. A devotee is always thankful, grateful, gratitude. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Grandhara Sarabhagavatam ki, Sri Rama Prabhupada ki. Yeah.